A weak solidarity Bricky team, Lister, when let's go to what we can't joke about. Zion now says it will only bomb and destroy and murder the innocents for 20 hours a day, which, with US support, calls this humanitarian. 20 hours of slaughter is humanitarian. And that presumes they'll keep their word, given people fleeing to where they were told to flee were bombed anyway. Onwards, it has been apparent for years that any criticism of Zion is deemed anti-Semitic. Any criticism of the current slaughter and destruction, anti-Semitic, when of course Semites are being slaughtered. Yes, justifiably, people are anti-Zionist, because we are anti any philosophy based on race and religious hegemony. Now Zion and the US are discussing who governs Gaza if they leave anything left to govern, again perpetuating 75 years of ignoring the Palestinian people, who will yet again have no say. The mantra to justify all this, Zion has a right to defend itself, means Zion has a right to all the lands it has taken and continues to expand and take, and those banished from the land stolen from them have no right to resist. And the world, including True Blue Aussie, supports that. Finally, as shame rings out regularly at Sunday rallies, shame to the state premier for denouncing pro-Palestinian protesters. The ALP, federal and state, is being shamefully gutless. Now, normal week that was, if normal could ever apply. And can't we be proven wrong? Just when we thought the Institute of Public, Very, Very Private Affairs was the repository of the most conservative thinking, indeed calling it thinking is a major concession, just when it has come out opposing the imprisonment of non-violent criminals, or more correctly, a particular non-violent criminal. The Institute's criminal justice reform research analyst, Mia Schlicht, real name, analysed the prison reform offered former Hayseed and Sheepshit Party state poly Russell North, who has moved west to enjoy His Most Gracious Majesty's hospitality after being found guilty of ripping off the public purse to the tune of $175,000. The cost of locking poor Russell up will cost more than the amount he ripped off, Mia pointed out. It is now taxpayers who will ultimately pay for his crimes, Mia argued, perhaps forgetting they already have, to the tune of $175,000. Pay, she said, thanks to the wasteful, unproductive and expensive imprisonment of people who pose a minimal physical safety threat to the community. Where has Mia been when prison reform advocates have been pointing to that wasteful, unproductive, expensive argument for years? Surely it's not that a privileged hayseed and sheepshit fraudster is involved. Where have Mia and the Institute of Public Very, Very Private been as countless of non-privileged have been slaughtered ad infinitum ever since our mother country deported the poverty-stricken victims of its criminal injustice system in the Terra Nullius invasion? The newly concerned Mia must be relieved, though, that the EY partner, one of the big four global financial behemoths charged with bringing in $700,000 through tax-dodging advice, is unlikely to cost the community by joining poor Russell. We can but imagine how much tax the public purse missed out on if the fee for evading it was $700,000. But Mia will also see justice in that EY itself will not be charged with any offence, because after all, the bloke they're charging was only a partner who allegedly gave his tax dodging advice for years. But for all those years, EY had no idea at all this was going on. Because obviously clients of the big four and the big end of town tax lawyers consult them, pay them millions to ensure they pay as much tax as they possibly can. Which is why the government in turn seeks their advice on any proposed amendments to tax laws. Because there's no way they would recommend amendments guaranteeing they can continue to ensure their clients always meet their, quote, legal tax obligations. With a report this week that about 30% of good corporate citizens met their legal tax obligations by paying not 1 cent. But although the report is silent on this, we can assume that if they practiced being a good corporate citizen, they would have collected heaps of corporate welfare from the taxes of those who can't avoid paying them. And we're sure Mia and the Institute of Public Very, Very Private team would agree there's one non-violent criminal who should not avoid jail. In fact, he's facing life for the unpatriotic crime of exposing true Lwazi war crime. Haven't noticed the Institute of joining the campaign to have the charges dropped, but imagine what it will cost the taxpayer to lock him up for life. But the Institute would know that's money well spent. David McBride's whistleblowing, just because his attempt to have the issues addressed through the proper channels was ignored, led to a very expensive Her Most Gracious Majesty's commission into war crimes, so he's already unnecessarily cost us heaps. Okay, the commission found he was correct. True Lwazi trained killers had committed war crimes, so arising out of all that, it's important that someone be charged, and who better than the public servant who exposed the whole thing? Yet all those goody-goodies say the government should drop the charges. Come on, he'll face a fair trial before he's put away for life. As Cup Week draws to a close, is anyone prepared to bet that a real war criminal will ever be charged for just doing their job? After all, killing people is their job. Meanwhile, killing mortgagees, metaphorically, another interest rate hike, which for the good of the country will lead to lots more unemployed whom Reserve Losses Bank Supremo Michelle Bulldust knows is for their own good. But those who feel the extra payments might make life a little more difficult stretch the budget wrong. Worst-packed Bank Supremo Peter King Hit the Customers announced that borrowers can cope with rate rises. For instance, if I had a mortgage, I have no doubt I could cope with the rate increases. Peter made borrowers feel so much better. Sure, the big supremos of all our great corporate citizens could cope. Well spotted, Peter. Although if some borrowers do find making ends meet a touch difficult, we may have a solution. Warren Buffett, the US of the UN of the US of the world big, big investor, announced he has $241 billion, real figure, to invest. Making money work, he said, while he makes a fortune doing no work. Well, the workers of the companies in which he invests are doing the work and making Warren a fortune. But given Warren is obviously a warm, caring, empathetic, filthy rich of the filthy rich, we recommend those having a bit of trouble with the mortgage repayments, give him a ring, pop a note to Warren and ask for a little help from his $241 billion. He'd be glad to offer a helping hand. Oh, and by the way, in declaring borrowers could cope, Peter King Hit the Customers announced a 26% profit increase to $7.2 billion. And Worspac and the other struggling banks will continue and certainly be able to cope. They'll make even more money. And the caring business class party shadow minister for capitalism, Jane Hume, damn the left, said those who couldn't cope thanks to the socialist government. Asked why rates were rising and people couldn't cope when her lot was in the government, Jane pointed out those problems had nothing to do with the government and were down to international issues. Whereas the international issues ignorant economists blame for the current problems are not international issues, but simply socialist mismanagement. But then in a complete surprise, Jane advocated the end of capitalism. Get rid of it. The government is dealing, she said, with the symptoms but not the cause. She couldn't have been clearer. Good on you, Jane. More importantly, big economic guru Jim Chalmers' capital made anyone not coping, despite their bank's assurances, feel so much better by declaring yet again he knows people are doing it tough. And he would love to help them, but knows that if he does something to help them, that will make life worse for them. The intricacies of the delicate flower that is the economy, epitomised in the problems facing Stevedore DP World for Dud the Public, facing industrial action by the evil unions with delays and even goods ending up in the wrong ports, all because the greedy workers want a pay rise when the company is happy to offer an agreement in which they won't be worse off. What could be fairer? And this is where the intricacies of the delicate flower come in. At the same time, Dud, the public world, is increasing its charges to its own customers by 52% to $191 per container, prompting even prominent exponent of the greatest little economic order, Graham Slamuel, to criticise the light-touch regulation of stevedores and even suggest the privatisation of most true blue Aussie container ports has created rampant high prices. A very unfair criticism, because the still publicly owned Fremantle port charges $50, showing private sector efficiency costs almost 400% extra, a small price to pay for efficiency. And all the more reason why Dud the public world can't afford the outrageous demands of its greedy, greedy workforce. Lord Rupert of Wapping's usual suspect columnist Bolt Through the Head informed us Big Supremo Anthony Albanese hadn't taken his orders from Washington not to believe anything evil China says seriously enough, becoming a naive victim of communist propaganda, leading us to wish Bolt Through would fill us in on which bit of the Chinese economy is communist. Anthony landed home from China, wandered across the tarmac and took off to the Pacific Islands Forum, where he said all the island states loved what True Blue Aussie is doing to facilitate their disappearance into the briny. Yet despite that, Germany's envoy on climate change came here and said we should join the European nations in calling for a total end to fossils at the next COP That conference coming up shortly. We do not have the time anymore to go slowly, she said, and did seem a touch concerned that True Blue Aussie still approved new fossils and expanded fossil exports. On behalf of all True Blue Aussies, let's say what right has she to come here and meddle in matters that are none of her business? For instance, in a takeover bid for great corporate Citizen Origin fossils, one bidder described it as a fossil fuel cash box. Does she and those Pacific nations, which may be a bit sceptical, want to deny those shareholders of their rights? Finally, we can dismiss any criticism from those Pacific Island states, because they're not going to be around much longer anyway. Good morning.